You're listening to AM950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm JP Derbogosyan, and you're listening to The Gaily Show, where we celebrate LGBTQ culture and entertainment in Minnesota and beyond. We are the answer to your question, what queer thing can I read, watch, or go to this week? On today's episode, F.T. Lukens will be here to talk about their new book, Otherworldly, but first, Stephanie Miller. The Sexy Liberal Tour is coming to Minneapolis on April 13th. Stephanie Miller joins me now. Hello, Stephanie. Welcome to The Gaily Show.
Oh, well, hello, JP. How are you?
I am well.
It's It's Minnesota nice to be here.
Well, I'm glad. And I have to say that 2024 is kind of starting to feel like the unsexiest of years. So you're getting here just in time. Tell us about the Sexy Liberal Tour.
Well, it's actually the Sexy Liberal Save the World comedy tour this time. Last version was Saving Democracy. Now we have to save the entire world from the orange monstrosity. And, you know, JP, we were just talking today about how exhausted and traumatized we all are, you know, and just numb to Donald Trump's constant incitement of violence and just crossing one line after another. And, you know, I played my Christmas song, It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Hitler, this morning, because I mean, honestly, JP, it's like, I don't think it's hyperbole to say, oh my God, our judicial system, our entire system of checks and balances seems to be frozen in fear of Donald Trump and ever holding him to account. I mean, people in other countries are like, what the F? How is he not in prison? How is he able to run again? I mean, I just think it is not hyperbole to say this is about saving our democracy and stopping fascism in America.
So who will be joining you?
John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Frangela, who are, if I might say so, I think the smartest, funniest comedians in America. It is such a great comedy show, JP. A lot of people bring even right-wing friends or relatives, and they have a great time because it's just, you know, we always say you got to laugh or you'd cry all day. So it's, you know, this time I've agreed to 15 cities, which we've never done before, but it's produced by Live Nation, which is really a big deal. And, you know, because I just thought this is it. This is could be the last election of our lives if we don't get this right. So we're going to be partnering with a Get Out the Vote group. Sorry, because, you know, we always give to sexy liberal causes in every city. And so, but this one is all about getting people out to vote.
Well, it's very important to be doing, obviously. And we noticed here on for the Minnesota edition or stop, Cliff Schechter is going to be joining you as a special guest. So can you tell our listeners about Cliff and what he does?
We always call him our favorite alpha liberal because, you know, I just say, like, we need alpha liberals to fight back, not just Trump, but Trumpism and this awful version of the Republican Party. And, you know, Cliff is one of them. And, you know, a lot of our great, like Jamie Raskin and Eric Swalwell and all the, you know, a lot of great Democrats we have. I mean, Ilhan Omar, you know, I loved how she just recently, despite the fact that I'm sure she has differences with Biden on some things, but she was asked, are you going to vote for him or support him? And she said, absolutely, our democracy's on the line. You know, so I think that's what we need is that kind of clear, unequivocal support. So, you know, we've had Senator Klobuchar on, you know, recently on the show in the past. And I mean, she's been very clear about what's at stake in this election. And so, you know, we always love coming to Minneapolis. And, you know, KTNF has been there since the beginning. It's just so they really get it, how important it is to have progressive voices out there.
Well, we are so happy to continue that partnership. And I've been asked to ask you, who's going to be taking care of Bonnie and Clyde while you're on tour?
One of my friends is going to be able to stay with them, my little babies. I know, they're right here. There they are. There's Bonnie and Clyde.
Adorable. Since the tour is kicking off here in Minneapolis, which we're very honored to be the first stop, I thought I would
We're working on other surprises, by the way, for the Minneapolis show.
Ooh, very exciting. I guess if it's a surprise, then I can't necessarily ask about it, but that's good to know.
who knows? Will Marcus Bachman be coming out? Just kidding.
we're all waiting for that call, right? well, I thought I'd ask some sexy liberal trivia questions where we could, you could tell us what you think that the answer is. So here we go. Question number one, and we get to make up the answers, right? So there really isn't any real answer here.
But all right.
Question number one of the sexy liberal trivia, who is the sexiest MSNBC anchor?
Oh, that's a tough one, but I'm going to say Nicole Wallace.
Ooh.
I love the other day she just like threw her script into the air.
Said, like, oh, I missed that.
You know, because that's where we're at. Like we have to stop saying, oh, this is unprecedented. Oh, we're normalizing Trump and say like, what are we going to do about this? Because he's not going to change. And we have to figure out how, because I feel like people are just frozen in fear about him. Mm-hmm. Judges, the DOJ, the Secret Service. I'm like, somebody do something. Right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so interesting for a former Republican. She seems to be, you know, sounding the alarm as loud as anybody.
Right. Yes. Particularly, I mean, one of the people who gave us Sarah Palin to have her.
Oh, bygones are bygones now.
She's bygones, exactly. Right. Well, so speaking of the two-time loser of the popular vote and twice former impeached president, quote unquote, which of the 91 indictments is the sexiest?
Whichever one ends him in prison, trading cigarettes for, you know, protection.
I feel like this is kind of a trick question that it would be like all of them. But
well, I mean, you know, they're all serious. You know, they're all like about, I mean, overthrowing the United States government, espionage, like it's all really just bewildering that we have a nominee for president out on bail on 91 felonies.
Right.
It's just, you know, but this hush money case, you know, this is the original. They keep saying, oh, that's not as important. It is. Mm-hmm. JP, mm-hmm. because it's the original sin. When you think about it, all of his crimes are about cheating. You know, mm-hmm. he cheated with Russia. He colluded with Russia to get installed in the first place. He tried to cheat, you know, with Ukraine to stay in office. He tried to cheat on January 6th and overthrow, and stop the peaceful transfer of power. It's on and on. But this is the original. You know, that even people on the Republican side are saying there's no way he would have been elected if the Stormy Daniels thing came out right on top of the Access mm-hmm. Hollywood tape. And mm-hmm. so, you know, this was the original cheating to get elected. And so, you know, along with colluding with Russia. So, I mean, the guy is just a lifelong criminal. And I truly believe that justice is coming. I mean, I get that it feels really delayed, but you know, I also think that there's going to be an enormous blue wave. I don't think they understand what's coming. And particularly women, when we call it row rage. I mean, look at this woman just won in Alabama by 25 points running on mm-hmm. reproductive rights, right?
I wanted to ask you about that because you've been covering elections, right, obviously, for a very long time here. And I'm trying to get a sense of, and I would love your wisdom on this, right? We can't underestimate the American voter, I guess. And, you know, the Democratic Party could lose elections, you know. But, like, what is your take of where we're at right now? I feel we're coming from a position of strength.
Yeah.
But sometimes you watch things and it feels like we're all doomed here. But what is your take on that?
But, you know, JP, I think that's the failure of the mainstream media, that they just, you know, to get clicks and ratings, you know, they have to make it seem close. And I just feel like every story is spun for how it's bad for Biden and Democrats. But when you look at actual voting, we're winning election after election when people actually vote, you know? So I would say, forget the polls and the pundits and just keep your head down, make sure everybody you know is registered. Make sure you're registered. Make sure you get everybody out to vote that you can. I mean, you know, there are a lot. What did somebody say? Like, decent people outnumber Trump supporters 3-1. All we have to do is show up.
That's, thank you. I think that's important for folks to hear. So thank you for that. As we are a LGBTQ culture and entertainment show, I'm wondering, do you have any queer comics that you're digging right now?
Well, one of my favorites, of course, is Dana Goldberg, who's on my show every Thursday usually. But she's not only a wonderful comedian, but also a wonderful activist. You know, she does so much work for human rights campaign and on and on. So, you know, I just, she always has something that I like start, I even laugh about later that, oh, she was talking about John Cena being naked at the Oscars. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, straight women and gay men were like, oh my God, look at that body. And lesbians were like, oh my God, are those the new Birkenstocks?
Oh, that's funny. I love that. Another question for you about LGBTQ media. Is there a favorite of recent, you know, book or film or TV show or podcast that you would really recommend to our listeners?
Yes. And I'll tell you what it is. NIAID. About Diana, who is a friend of mine and who I know has been on the show and I've, you know, seen socially. But not only are Annette Bening and Jodie Foster just amazing actresses and so good in it, it's just a really powerful story, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so interesting. I was just talking to my best friend about that they actually, you know, she and Bonnie, her, you know, Diana's, she calls her partner. They're like life partners, but it's not romantic or sexual necessarily, you know, like it's so interesting. I mean, I would say it really is a love story. And it is just, you know, interesting how different people partner. Like they've kind of said they're each other's life partner, even though it's not romantic. So it's just, but anyway, I just think it's an amazing story.
And Annette Bening did all of her swimming in that.
I know. Crazy, right?
It really is. Well, so folks can get their tickets for the Sexy Liberal Tour at livenation.com. They can also purchase, while they're getting their tickets, the Meet and Grope package. What is the Meet and Grope package?
The VIP tickets are being sold separately this time. Again, it's being produced by Live Nation, which is really a big deal. And we're kicking it off in Minneapolis. That's why we're so excited that that's our first date, because it's just been one of our favorite, you know, cities over the years to come, obviously, because of KTNF and just all our beloveds there. So I remember one year, Dave in Minneapolis, one of my favorite callers, actually did dress up as Marcus Bachman and Daisy Dukes and like a, I don't know, like a halter top. And it was fantastic. So there's going to be a lot of jokes about the Harmar Mall, I can tell you, which is where my pillow guy started and may end up, I think.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. We really appreciate you being here on the show, and we will see you on April 13th.
I'll see you then. Love you, Minneapolis. Mwah.
Once again, you can get your tickets to the Sexy Liberal Tour, which will be in Minneapolis on April 13th. You can go to livenation.com or you can go to hennepintheatertrust.org. As you're buying your tickets, don't forget to add on the Meet and Grope package to meet Stephanie Miller. Turning to books, F.T. Lukens has their 9th new novel coming out now. It's called Otherworldly. They met with me to talk all about it. I am very happy to have F.T. Lukens joining us here on The Gailey Show to talk about their new novel, Otherworldly, which just dropped on April 2nd. F.T., hello. Welcome to The Gailey Show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Congratulations on your new novel. So tell our listeners about Otherworldly and a little bit about yourself.
Well, Otherworldly is my 9th novel, and it is coming out, or came out on Tuesday. And it is a queer YA speculative kind of paranormal romance. And it is... It's a little weird, but it's a contemporary fantasy about a skeptic and a supernatural being working together to end a 5-year winter. So it's a little bit of a departure from my earlier books, but it's a fun time.
And so for our listeners, this is not part of a series, right?
Right. No, I write standalones, or my last 4 books have been standalones. So it is not part of a series. You can pick it up and just start right there at the beginning.
And you had me at queer, YA, speculative, and weird. I love that. So talk to me about those themes of wanting to explore like the supernatural, the speculative, but also the skeptical part of that. That I found really interesting.
Well, the idea behind Otherworldly, I started with wanting to write the dynamic between a character that is a skeptic and doesn't believe in anything supernatural. And it comes from a past of being kind of steeped in a rural religion and then seeing that religion kind of fail. And so they have left their home and left their family and moved to the city to try and help their family because they're in a 5-year winter, and that, you know, in a rural community, winter wouldn't really work and you need the seasons for a farm to work. So they've had to move away and work and send money back home. And so they're kind of wrapped up in this level of hurt and skepticism, and they're pretty abrupt and brusque and kind of a jerk in the beginning. And so they meet this supernatural being who happens to be a familiar from the other world. And the idea behind it is I just really wanted to write that dynamic of a character that is a non-believer and has been hurt by things in the past and is kind of just wrapped up in their own self-thoughts, and their whole teenage life has been in this winter, so they're really bitter, and pair that with a character that is experiencing human life for the first time and wants to have fun and is naive and kind of innocent and is not carrying all that baggage. So that is really where the idea began, is wanting to write the dynamic between those two types of characters.
And how much of the romance can you share with us right now?
Well, the romance is between the main character, Ellery, who is the skeptic. They are non-binary. And with Knox, who is the familiar, uses he, him. And it's a kind of a slow burn, cozy romance of just these two characters working together and then finding out that they do have more in common than what they thought, and then kind of rooting for each other and helping each other make kind of big choices in their lives. So the romance is really kind of quiet.
I love that. I love that. What was your favorite part about writing the novel?
It was the this sound may sound a little weird, but it was the amount of research I had to do. And Ooh. I really liked kind of delving into the different myths that show up and delving into folklore and different kind of crossroads myths and classical mythology and different like folklore from different places, and so yeah, and actually researching cornfields and that kind of stuff. So it was actually really kind of fun to find all those things.
I love that. I do want to ask a question that is kind of on topic for YA, but not necessarily about your novel, or maybe. I'm curious. I always love to ask YA authors right now. Maybe love is the wrong way of setting up this question. But with all the book bans that are going on right now, with YA novels being particularly, you know, facing the brunt of those, how are you navigating that?
Well, I mean, it'd be wrong to say that it's not on my mind. Because mm-hmm. it is, and I feel like it sucks for the readers and for the audience that, you know, these books are aimed for, that are, you know, I want teen readers and young adults to be able to find my books, to be able to find maybe representation they haven't seen before, or maybe just finding some queer joy, or finding, you know, the language of they, them pronouns, or just want a cozy, soft romance along with their, you know, paranormal winter. And it sucks that, you know, some readers are going to not be able to find these books because of those bans. But in the end of the day, I'm not going to stop writing what I want to write and what I, you know, brings me joy, and wanting to write for that audience. So I hope that the books can find their way to those who want them or those who need them. And, you know, but again, it's not going to stop myself and other YA writers that, you know, are looking to find that audience, or looking to write towards that audience, from creating works.
I love that you're bringing up queer joy. That's a lot of the theme of what we're trying to do here right at the show in terms of celebrating LGBTQ culture and entertainment. What is some queer joy and YA lit that you've really been enjoying right now? So like other novels or maybe just queer media in general that's been bringing you joy?
I actually just read So Let Them Burn by Camilla Cole, and I really enjoyed that book. It's a YA fantasy. It is, she pitched it as Jamaican Joan of Arc with dragons, and that just came out in January, and it's a really great, now it is a series, it is part one of two books, so just putting that out there, because it ends a little bit on a cliffhanger, but it's a really great novel, and I really love, I got to meet Camilla, and we did a event together here in Asheville at Malaprops Bookstore, and it was really great to meet her and talk about the book and be able to read that book. So that is one piece of media. I also just read, and this one's not out yet, I think it's out at the end of the in the fall maybe, but The Good Vampire's Guide to Blood and Boyfriends, which is a queer vampire YA. And it was great. I really enjoyed that one too. And that is coming out in the fall. But other than that, I have, you know, been in kind of the writing, editing, marketing space for the past few months. So I've not been able to, you know, watch any new fun things or read anything else right now.
It is all consuming, isn't it?
Yes, it's when you're an author, some people don't, you know, maybe not realize this, and they will at some point, but being an author isn't just writing. It is marketing, doing, you know, podcasts and appearances and that kind of stuff, but also a lot of reading, not just your own manuscripts, but, you know, other folks' stuff. And then it's a lot of, you know, just other kind of work that you may not think goes into being an author, but there's a lot.
Well, FT, thank you so much for being in the show. How can people order your book, and how can people connect with you if they'd like to do so through social?
You can order the book through anywhere. It is available everywhere. But if you would like to order through an indie bookshop, Malaprops Bookstore in Asheville, you can order through them. I will occasionally drop by there and sign orders for them. So you could always ask for it to be signed if you're willing to wait just a little bit, and then they'll let me know and I'll come in and sign it. And there's also two special editions. There's an Illumicrate special edition and a Dazzling Bookshop special edition of Otherworldly and of a few of my previous books. But also, if anyone wants to find me, I am on social media on Instagram at ftlukens. And then I also have my website, which is ft-lukens.com.
Wonderful. Well, congratulations again. This is very exciting, FT. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's our episode for today. Our podcasts are executive produced by Jim Pounds. Marketing, production, and distribution support provided by, from AM 950, Brett Johnson, Chad Larson, Jennifer Ogren, and Laura Hedlund. You can visit us online. Go to thisqueerbook.com or am950radio.com. You can watch us on our YouTube channels, unless you're watching us right now. Go to youtube.com/@TheGailyShow or at AM 950 Radio. You can find us on social media. We're at This Queer Book on Instagram, and we are at @The_GailyShow on Instagram. If you follow us there, you can see preview clips of our upcoming interviews for that week's shows. You can also find us on thisqueerbook.com, where you can sign up to be on This Queer Book Save My Life. And until our next episode, see you queers and allies in the bookstores.